Good evening, ladies and gentlemen and members. We'll now start with the Planning Committee meeting. Before we do have a number of speakers tonight, and each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak, and I'll give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Thank you. So we'll move on to agenda item one. Apologies for absence, please.
No apologies have been received.
Thank you. Agenda item two is minutes of the meeting held on the 17th of January 2017. Are there any questions on those minutes? No? Okay, I'll move those minutes from the chair. Do I have a seconder? Thank you. I'll put that to the vote, please. Everybody voted on that one. Eight in favour and two abstentions. Thank you. Agenda item three, urgent business. I have no urgent business, so we'll move on to agenda item four, declarations of interest, please. Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Items 10 and 11, personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary interest. I know the applicant.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Item 12, I have a personal, prejudicial and pecuniary interest. I am here to hear item 7, which is in my ward, and on completion of that item, I will leave the building, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. It's item 10 and 11. And I'd just like to ask for clarification. I actually use the restaurant. So how do you think that that affects my voting? I don't mind about what happens, but I've got an open mind. But as I say, I have used and do use that restaurant.
Mr. Chairman, the general principle around declarations of interest is that it's the responsibility of the member to make a decision on whether or not they have an interest. And that's usually done prior to the that's usually done in discussion with officers prior to the meeting. In your case, I suppose the question really is, how frequently do you use the establishment? Have you developed over time a rapport with the proprietors of the business to such an extent that you would consider them to be friends? And for the purposes of the code, an associated person, would you consider that relationship with the proprietors could, by a reasonable person, be considered to affect your judgment of the public interest? And I think those are matters that you are advised to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, Chairman. On that advice, I think that I won't be voting on this particular item.
Thank you. Any other declarations? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. Do we all have to recognise on item 12 that we know Councillor Goodrick?
Mr. Chairman, I think if you are acquainted with Councillor Goodrick at council meetings and nothing more than that, I don't think you do need to declare an interest, but the decision is very much for members. If there is a close friendship with Councillor Goodrick, and a reasonable member of the public would consider that that would affect that person's judgment of the public interest, then I think we're getting into territory where a declaration of interest would be advisable. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. In that case, then, item 12, I declare an interest, personal, non-prejudicial. I have done business with them at that site, so thank you.
Thank you. And for myself, items 10 and 11, personal, non-prejudicial. Thank you. So now move on to agenda item 5, which is the schedule of items to be determined by committee. Agenda item 6, application number 16/01881/Major Full. The application site is Spaniel Farm, Main Road, Weaverthorpe, and the proposal is for the erection of a general purpose agricultural storage building.
Thank you, Chair. I have no verbal updates regarding this application. The applications brought to members this evening as the floor area of the proposed building exceeds 1,000 square metres at 1,563 square metres. Some members may be aware that the applicant operates quite a large potato growing business as well as straw and grain storage at the site and also at Glebe Farm in Butterwick. So I'll now just go through some photographs of the site. Just so members can orientate themselves, this is Spaniel Farm here, the application site. This is the main road through Weaverthorpe to Butterwick. It's on quite elevated ground, which you'll see better from this photograph. There's been quite a lot of planting there over the years. This is the existing agricultural building, and the proposed building will mirror the form, the use of materials, and the scale of this building just in this space here. You can clearly see from this photograph that there is space for the building to be on the site. And again, this is some of the other existing buildings on the site. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No. I don't believe we have the local member here, so I think Councillor Maud, is it yours or is it?
It's not mine.
It's near enough. Okay, we'll come to you with that one then. Thank you.
Well, it's just an expansion of a very successful business, and let's hope that it keeps growing in the way that it is done, providing work and employment. And it's you can't see this when you go by. I mean, there's a big wind turbine up there, but that's all that can be seen. Really. So I'd like to move the officer's recommendation for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'd like to second this. It's well shielded with existing shelter belts. It's set against an existing steading range of buildings. It shows the investment in agriculture and employment in Rydale. I'm all for it. Second it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak on this one? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I will put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. We move on to agenda item 7, application number 16/01950/Major Full. The application site is Common Farm, Upper Helmsley. The proposal is for the erection of an equestrian building to include 40 number stables and indoor exercise track.
Thank you, Chair. I have no verbal updates regarding this application. Again, it's brought to members as the floor area of the building exceeds 1,000 square metres at 1,728 square metres. The building will include 40 stables and an indoor exercise track. So I'll just now show you some photographs of the site. Just in terms of its location, this is the main gate, Helmsley, the A166. This is the road up to Upper Helmsley, and the access to the application site's here. But the main farmstead is located down quite a long track, just in this location here. This is the view of the site when driving along the track. You know, you can see some that's the main farmhouse, and some existing equestrian buildings. This is the field where the proposed building will be. Just panning round to show the existing equestrian building, on the site, and a horse walker. Again, this is the paddock where the proposed building will be. As you can see, you know, these buildings are all quite new. I think an application was brought to members not too long ago for this site. This is just a photograph taken from the road out of Upper Helmsley, where you can see in the distance the farmstead, the little stable block that was on the other picture. So the building will be located here and will be red in the backdrop of the trees. I think this seems to be a site, a natural expansion to the site. And the site is located in the York Greenbelt, but I think due to its siting and its scale, it's appropriate in this location. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you. Our previous application, I think, required some tree screening to go in from the road to provide a screened area between the road between Upper Helmsley and St Hutton, and they promised to put that back. I don't know if it's been started, and I think it's the right time of year to do that planting if it hasn't.
I'd need to check on that, but yeah. I think it was in this planting season, so we're in this. It's in this window. Yeah. All right. Okay. But I'll check that out and come back to you.
Thank you. Any more questions, Councillor Maud?
Thanks, Chairman. I notice on some of these long shots there's smoke coming from the site. It may not be, but is it the usual practice to burn straw? I thought you weren't supposed to do it these days. Straw from where the horse has been bedded.
Chairman, I don't think it's...
Oh, is it? All right. Oh, that's a better smell.
Councillor Mrs. Frank.
That brings me to my question, which is what happens to all the muck from this? Is there a sufficient lamp to spread it on, or is there a method of disposing of it?
I think on the original previous application there was quite a detailed manure management plan for the site, so that'll get, we can give you the details of that.
Is that working then? If there's a big pile of steamy muck somewhere, is that working?
The manure management plan tends not to be about the piles of it, but manoeuvring it in a way that it doesn't create smells in the locality. So sometimes it's a question of it is stockpiled before then it is moved at the right times.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Remembering the last application and this one for a substantial number of horses, it seems that this development is going to expand until it's up to full strength. I don't know this area particularly well, but are we comfortable that it can tolerate a very significant equestrian establishment?
I think the simple answer to that is yes, Chairman. I mean, although the site is located within the York Greenbelt, this is one of those uses that is an appropriate use in the Greenbelt. So you come down to very much site-specific considerations. As Charlotte's mentioned, this is a complex that's located at the end of quite a long track. It's some way distance from nearest public vantage point. So the photograph that Charlotte took there is probably about as near as you get from most of the adjacent highways. In that sense, the views tend to be distant rather than close at hand from most of the adjacent public highways. I'm not sure the local member would share that, but I think that's my perception of it. So the constraints will come down to landscape considerations, highway network issues or the like, but certainly at this stage, this new, well, relatively new enterprise, as I understand it, has taken on board an existing premises which was used but was rather run down, shall we say, and seems to be operating quite successfully as it stands at the moment.
Any more questions? No? Okay, we'll move on into debate. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. In answer to some of my colleagues' questions, this was an existing training yard which had become redundant, and Mr. O'Meara moved in, I think it's two and a half years ago. There's an exceeding amount of work gone into it. It's in the hollow, actually, in the landscape. So the only point that you can actually see is a very short space of road on the way from Upper Helmsley to Sandhutton. It's very well managed. With regard to the manure piles are probably rotting down because you can't apply fresh manure onto ground because it's too acidic. It would burn the roots of whatever was there. So if there's piles of steam coming from manure piles, it's actually it's working, steaming, breaking down, and then you'd apply it when it's rotted down to a certain level. This yard seems to be going from strength to strength. There's no doubt that he's an excellent record as a racehorse trainer. He's providing very valuable local jobs and supporting the local economy. He's using at least two of the local hostelries, not only by the stable lads, but for different functions that are going on from the yard, because they've told me. And actually, I think this is absolutely right for the area. It's right for Rydale's economy. It's right to support this and to support our racing industry. So I'm very happy to move approval and thank very much the officer for her report and the work that she's put in.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'd very much like to second this. Concur with all my colleagues' words there. It's really great to see the racing fraternity growing and expanding and people wanting to invest in this industry, and it couldn't be, in my opinion, in a better place. All I would like to say is good luck, and probably you'll be coming to us for more expansion, but good luck to you, and thank you for investing in this area.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
At the risk of repeating my two friends' words already, I think, to borrow the good doctor's words on a previous occasion, this is a beacon establishment. It's something we should be really pleased to support. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Somebody not voted. Thank you once again. That's unanimous. It is approved. Now move on to agenda item 8, application number 16/01870/full. The application site is land adjacent to Dekelia, Moor Lane, Broughton, Moulton. The proposal is for the erection of a detached two-bedroom dwelling with garden shed and formation of vehicular access. Revised details to refusal dated 13/9/2016.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to draw to members' attention that I did refer to the local needs occupancy criteria in my report on page 26, and there should be a condition attached to the decision notice regard to the local needs occupancy, so that's just clarity on that matter. Members may recall an outline planning application was approved in December 2013 for the principal of one dwelling in this location. But this is just in terms of looking at some site-specific details, hence the full planning application. I'll now just go through some photographs. Just in terms of orientation, this is the main B1257 towards Malton and, that shouldn't say Norton, that should say Helmsley. This is the village of Broughton, and the application site is just here. Dekelia is the property to the north of the site, and this site was formerly its garden. This is an application, a photograph taken from the road frontage of Moor Lane. Here you can see the bungalow to the south, that's known as Westway. Again, you can see this property here is Dekelia, and this is the boundary. All right. Is this better? Thank you. This is a photograph taken just within the site. This window here is a garage window for the neighbours. I'm just showing the bungalow again of Westway to the north, south of the site, and Dekelia to the north. It's just looking back towards the front, back of the site. Again, just Dekelia to the north. This is looking south back down Moor Lane. Here you can see that a lot of the properties are ridged parallel to the road, which this proposed dwelling will also be ridged parallel to the road. This is a photograph stood from the driveway of Dekelia. Looking south, so the bungalow will be roughly in this location here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We do have a speaker on this one, which is the applicant, Mr. Blakely. Just press that button again in the middle, that's it. Okay, you've got 3 minutes and I'll give you the 30 second audible warning. Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 9 months of discussions and amended plans from our original drawings of a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom dormer bungalow, we have reduced our proposed home to a now 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom true bungalow to sympathise with surroundings and satisfy the planners. Both our neighbours are happy with our amendments. Our only objections now come from Miss Robinson, who resides further down the road, who cannot even see our proposed property from where she lives. Miss Robinson and her partner own a plot of land directly behind our plot, and we know that they wish to purchase our land for an access road into their land. So we must assume that the complaints and objections is to try and thwart our approval. After selling our family home in Rillington, where we had lived for 9 years previous, we now look forward to building our retirement home in Brown. Both my wife and myself have extensive connections within the Rydale area, having both worked in the district for over 11 years. We would also like to consider that there is a shortfall of bungalows for the older residents in Rydale. After purchasing our land, we found out that we did not fit the local occupancy criteria. We wrongly assumed that having lived in Rydale, this was sufficient. It was not. So we shall be moving into one of the required parishes until the qualifying period is attained. That's about it. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No? Okay, we'll move to the local member. I think that's Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Yes, it would be nice to see this site develop, because we have had problems with it in the past. it's nice to see it looking quite tidy at the moment. It is quite a tight site, but I feel that the proposed dwelling is quite neat. It's single storey, and as the applicant has just said, they're going to do everything right to qualify with the local occupancy condition, and therefore I'd like to move recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I know Broughton very well. I used to live a few doors away at Hindley, and the ward member is quite right in saying that there were a few issues and the site was looking quite unsightly, but it's nice to see that the site is looking much better at the moment. I think sometimes it's better to wait a while and get the right thing that we need than to not get anything at all. So we have got to a situation where we can now approve this, and the occupants will do as they say and then move into a very, very nice village. And it has been said that we haven't got enough bungalows, and that is true, and we do need these types of bungalows. So I've no hesitation in seconding this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's unanimous, it is approved. Now move on to agenda item 9, application number 16/01887/73A. Application site is land at corner of Chapel Road and Forkers Lane, Setrington. The proposal is for the variation of condition 21 of approval dated 29/11/2012 to state that the approved plans shall be 619/21K site layout, 619/20D house type design, and then 619/22B window details, eaves details, and 619/23 additional door details.
Thank you, Chairman. In terms of updates, there was three pages on the late pages, an email from the agent clarifying more in terms of the levels and height, and also some sectional drawings. I'd also like to say that there was an error on page 51 of the report. I've stated that it was 18 Chapel Road to the immediate west of the site, when actually it's 19 Chapel Road. So I just thought I'd make that clear to start with. I know we have some speakers for this application, but I thought I'd first of all go through some photographs. Just so members can orientate themselves with the application site, we're in Setrington. This is Forkers Lane, which is the approach to and from Scagglethorpe. This is Church Lane towards All Saints Church. And this is Chapel Road, which eventually would take you out towards Norton. Now we're just coming down Forkers Lane as if we're driving from Scagglethorpe. So here, at this moment in time, you can't actually see the application site. As we pan further down here, you can just about see the timber construction. This is again as we're getting further down Forkers Lane towards the corner. This is the bungalow that's known as Fairview. This is an access track that there's a property to the back of here called Willowbet Lodge, and again this is the bungalow, and you can see here the frontage properties onto Chapel Road, 17, 18, 19 Chapel Road. again just slightly further down Focus Lane towards the corner. And here stood more or less on the corner opposite the junction to Church Lane. This is stood directly at Church Lane looking across to the site. So I think in terms of views are fairly localised to this this site. Just travelling now down Chapel Road here, you can see the adjacent properties which are listed buildings. But there is quite a distance between these properties and the application site. This is stood on the driveway of 19 Chapel Road, just, and here you can see the dwellings. I think here you can see how, in terms, the land rises towards the corner of Chapel Road and Focus Lane. And obviously the distance again between these three properties and the application site. This is just stood further down, more towards the Beck, looking up, and again I think this is a clear indication that the land does rise. This is stood in the driveway of 19 Chapel Road, so you can see just about across the where the frame and the insulation of the dwellings are, with the scaffold slightly sticking out. And this is further stood down the drive, the properties and the application site. I know there's quite a lot of photographs there to grasp, but happy to take any questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We do have a number of speakers on this one. Firstly, the parish council is Peter Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Thanks for giving Setterington Parish Council the opportunity to speak against the proposal to approve this application. In short, our objection has two strands. Firstly, that the building in its present state is an eyesore, not in proportion to its surroundings, and does not maintain the position and height of its neighbours. This is most apparent and important when viewed from Church Lane by residents and visitors, and not by unconcerned motorists passing through in a hurry on Chapel Road and Fawkes Lane, as is used in the building conservation officer's viewpoint and justification. Secondly, that we consider the approval would make a mockery of the principles of planning approval. It would reinforce the broadly held belief that developers can ignore the constraints of the planning system, build in a manner which best suits them, and ride roughshod over the regulatory process. In 2012, working with Rydale District Council, we produced a village design statement. Its purpose is to give supplementary planning guidance to the Council when making decisions on planning applications. In 2012, your Building Conservation Officer wholly endorsed the design statement's village layout principles. Now, presumably, expediency has modified that view. This is, to say the least, very disappointing. Commenting specifically on the details of this application. 1. The approved Birtsall Estate planning applications complied with the siting and height conformity requirement. The interim later application was rejected largely because the building lines were not maintained. As it stands now, the building is some 511 millimetres above approved height. We are aware that other developers and builders decided not to proceed with plans to develop a site when they recognised the planning constraints. They would now understandably be aggrieved, learning that the developer has ignored those constraints and suffered no consequences. 3. The fact that this developer, for his convenience, has chosen timber frame construction should not be a contributory reason for agreeing that the building has to be moved 1.3 metres forward of the existing building line. 4. Existing party wall and other legislation provides a framework for building on a boundary. 5. Maintaining the roof height could have easily been achieved simply by reducing the level of the site accordingly, as shown on the approved drawings. To conclude, I reiterate my introductory comment that this building, as seen by residents and visitors, is 1.3 metre forward and 511 millimetres is too high, and that approval would make a mockery of planning authority and of the village design statement. It would send a message that developers can disregard the regulatory process. I therefore urge you, please do not approve this application. At the very least, delay a decision until the planning committee have seen for themselves the building's overbearing appearance as seen when driving away from Setterington Church and from an event at Setterington House. Please come and examine the situation before making a decision. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is an objector, Alan Mitchell, please. Thank you. Once again, you've got 3 minutes and I'll give you a 30-second audible warning.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Alan Mitchell and I'm speaking to object against the proposal to approve this application, both as a resident of Setterington and as a chartered structural engineer with over 35 years' experience in construction. I object on grounds of design and application of the planning process. Regarding design, the current position and height of the proposed building causes it to stick out like a sore thumb. It is over 400 millimetres too high and 1.3 metres out of position. Great care was taken with the 2012 approved scheme to follow the height and building line of the adjacent listed terrace. The architects worked closely with the planning officers to design houses that would fit well into the Setterington Conservation Area. In 2015, an alternative application was submitted for this site. This increased the height and sought to bring the building line forward. This application was objected to by the conservation officer and rejected by the council for reasons of siting. The sensitive nature of this site is cleared by the 22 conditions attached to the approval, 10 of which need to be satisfied prior to commencement. I would ask, has this been done, and if so, competently checked? Of particular relevance is condition 3, which reads, details of levels of the proposed development shall be submitted to and approved in writing by the applicant. Surely this should read, submitted by the applicant and approved in writing by the local planning authority. Why have the council allowed a two-storey building to be erected on-site when it's in the wrong place and contravenes their planning conditions? Had the developer applied to make these changes prior to commencement, would they have been turned down as the previous application was? As an engineer, I query design justifications made by the applicant's planning consultant in their letter. They claim that there is a building regulation which states that the external walls DPC should be a minimum of 150 mm above external ground level. This is a selective use of the regulations, as floors can be built below ground level, provided they have suitable protection from groundwater. I doubt whether lowering of the site levels by some 400 millimetres would have a detrimental effect on the adjacent storage building, which is over a metre away. A trial pit would confirm this. I'm concerned that the officer's recommendation for approval is heavily influenced by the uncontrolled progress of this building, rather than by reasoned argument.
30 seconds, please.
Approval will send out a worrying message that it's easy to influence planning if a building is progressed and conditions ignored. It is up to you, councillors, to hold the line and not set a damaging precedent. Rejecting this application merely confirms the original decision made in 2012. The developer should take down the build and restart the project as per the approved scheme. This dismantling should take less than a week and most of the building materials will still be reusable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is the agent, Melissa Madge.
Thank you, Chairman and members. I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant, Mr. Benson. This is his first new build project. He bought the site with planning permission and with all the conditions discharged, just for a point of clarity. Firstly, I'd like to offer the applicant sincere apologies for the mistakes that have occurred in relation to the setting out of the site and in relation to the height of the building. These have not occurred as a result of the applicant seeking to ride roughshod over this planning committee or this council, or the parish council for that matter. The increase in height is a result of technical decisions being made in respect of compliance with building regulations, both in relation to the finished ground floor level and ensuring that the built structure is sufficiently robust to take the loading of the roof. The applicant was not aware that what he deemed to be minor changes would need a further planning permission. The resiting of the dwellings is an honest mistake that occurred from misreading the approved plan. The dimension set out on the approved plan is correct, but the starting point from where it was measured on site is incorrect. This error was only identified due to the council's investigation of a complaint. The report before you is thorough, considers all the issues in great detail, and makes a reasoned justification as to why the recommendation is for approval. Your building conservation officer confirms that the increase in height is regrettable, but relatively minor. In respect to the resiting, the building conservation officer is satisfied that the overall effect of the building and its relationship with the neighbouring listed building still retains the key characteristics of this locality in respect of the eaves and ridge heights and setback from the road. Any harm to the conservation area is considered by your officers to be very much less than substantial harm. Whilst it is appreciated that there is opposition to the development being permitted in its current form, that opposition does not come from neighbouring residents that live immediately or even within close proximity to the development. The neighbouring residents have either not responded, so it can reasonably be assumed that they have no strong feelings about the development, or they have written in support of the amended scheme, and in particular the resiting.
Please.
We all know that ignorance of the planning system is no defence, but the applicant intended no disrespect or deception due to the errors that have occurred. On behalf of the applicant, it is hoped that the committee will follow the advice of officers and approve the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, or do you want to come back, Gary? Sorry.
Not necessarily at this stage, Chairman. I mean, clearly, members of this planning committee have equally expressed views in the past when we've dealt with retrospective applications of their regret that we're dealing with a retrospective application. And indeed, the racing stables that we dealt with earlier on tonight had a retrospective application. That was your first application that you dealt with on that site. So the mere fact that something is retrospective is not in itself a crime. There is no crime that's been committed here, unless we get to a point where we've actually taken the view as a planning committee that what we're looking at is not acceptable. We've served an enforcement notice, and that enforcement notice has come into effect. But this committee has not shied from taking enforcement action where it feels its policies have clearly been breached. And I'm looking across at Councillor Hope and the saga of Cornborough Road and the like. But nevertheless, the large portion of breaches of control that we do deal with do end up with the applicant seeking to try and regularise a situation. That's why very often you end up dealing with these types of application, because the original objectors then, or the original complainants then write in. It is a judgment call. We haven't got a black and white policy here. This isn't a dwelling outside of a development limit that where there's a clear black and white. There is planning permission already for two dwellings on this site for a scheme that was not, in my view, that dissimilar from this. I would take issue with the refusal that has been referred to, which is on page 49, I think it is, of the committee report, which was in 2015, which was for a pair of larger dwellings. They were for three-bedroom dwellings. They were for dwellings that had a cross wing coming out at the front and rear and didn't look like that. They didn't look as though they were ridge parallel to the road. There is a change, but in our view, that change isn't sufficient to justify refusal. And I think because of where we are, you have to look at the expediency issue of what that decision means. So if members do refuse this tonight, it isn't an easy fix. It's a takedown and resite and rebuild and reduce in size if you are of the view that what you've previously approved in 2012 was the only thing that you were ever prepared to approve. It's a judgment, Chairman. and I hope the report comes over as a balanced report. Your conservation officer's comments, I think, are also balanced. I've been to the site myself and had a look at it, and indeed when I carried out the site inspection, in fact the residents of Fairview, I think it is, which is the bungalow, the yellow gabled bungalow at the back, were there, and I did speak to them, and they haven't responded, that's fair to say, to the application, but they did, in discussion with myself, consider that the fact that the building was further away was actually better for them in a relationship point of view. So whilst there are differences because the dwelling is 1.3 metres further forward this way than the line of listed cottages, it's actually further away from the bungalow. And indeed the dwelling that's at the back of the bungalow, the occupiers of that have written in support of the application. So it's not a one-way traffic, it's a balanced decision. Our view is that if we refuse this and went down the inexorable path of what the logic of that decision would mean, is that we would be having to serve some form of enforcement notice. That would result in an appeal. An appeal inspector would come along from somewhere not local and judge that. But you've got to imagine that as the inspector would, which is clad, finished in stone with clay pantiles on it. And I think most inspectors would probably consider that that is acceptable. That's my judgment. Not everybody agrees with that judgment, but that's why we've recommended what we've recommended, Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Hope.
Yeah, Chairman, there seems to be a lot of emphasis put on it not being in the right place. It's moved forward. Would there be, I know it's difficult, but would there be any advantage on the site visit for the committee?
Chairman, we've presented you with a lot of photographs tonight. I appreciate they're from a lot of different directions. Nothing's the same as standing on site and looking at it. I think if members are in any shred of doubt about the correct course of action, I would certainly suggest that a site visit is a preferable option than actually refusing the application tonight. You've had a lot of photographs, clearly, and they're difficult to fully appreciate. That's a judgment call, Chairman. I, from my own point of view, couldn't fully appreciate everything until I'd been out there. But having been out there, I'm very much confident and happy in the recommendation. But I appreciate that all of you may not have been out there. Not everybody's a local member. I don't even know whether the local member has had a chance to see.
Any other questions? Councillor Mrs. Shield.
I want to go into the
All right,
Chairman.
Okay, any questions? No? Okay, we'll move into debate. Your local Councillor Cleary, please.
Thank you, Chairman, yes, and thank you to the officer for the report. For once, I'm in two minds, and it is a question of balance or a judgment call. I did go out to site. The site in question is set well back from Chapel Lane, so the fact that it's being built further forward isn't so apparent, especially with the scaffolding. However, it is a prominent and elevated site, and my own wish is to allow other members of the council to see it on site, as already suggested by Councillor Hope. And therefore, I would like to propose a site visit.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Well, I will second that, but I would also like to make comment, Chairman, if I may. Setrington is a very special village. The design statement that was drawn up before has, over the years, you know, been adhered to very strictly. And whenever there has been a planning application, I can remember, I'm going back a few years now, that every single piece of brick and so on, windows, were exactly going to be the same as the rest of the village. It is unique in some ways. It's a beautiful village. And I don't think that this particular building really fits into it. And it is too high, clearly. It has moved forward in the wrong place. If we allow this to go through, I'm sorry that they've got so far with it, but perhaps, you know, they've admitted there have been mistakes. Okay, well then, these things should have been checked long before they got as far as they have at the moment. And frankly, if something like this is allowed to go, then not only in Setrington, but in other places too. Well, you know, if it's only a yard or two, what are we worried about? And if it's a bit higher than we said it was going to be, well, it doesn't really matter. But it does matter. If we're going to be strict with particular buildings in certain villages, we've got to have the same sort of attitude and the same sort of purpose every single village that we have. And as I say, Setrington is very special. You must, most of you, if you don't know it, you should go and have a look at it. It's really beautiful. And you can't have something which sticks out and is not in keeping with what was originally planned. So I'm sorry. I don't think I'll approve it, but I'm quite happy to go along, and I will second a site visit, because I think everybody, if you're not really acquainted with it, needs to see it, so that in fact we can then make a better judgment a bit later on, Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm happy to, you know, hear what Mrs. Shield said. I think the Charlotte's tonight brought along the Setrington Village Design Statement, if any there were any specific questions. And I think what also might be useful for a site visit is to see the context of the site, because the Setrington Village Design Guide is not a straitjacket. And if you go through the historic core of Setrington, you will see historic buildings of different scales and sizes and designs. There is an overwhelming predominance of stone and pantile. I mean, I think that's clearly the case. At this particular point, we are actually at the interface with what I would call New Setrington and Old Setrington. And it's right at that junction. You can see that from the photographs that you've got in front of you. And I think to that extent, the context is key. But in addition to doing the site visit, I think it might be helpful for members to avail themselves, if we do have a site visit, Chairman, of just having a look around Setrington, because they are not uniform properties. We all think they are, but when you look at them, they are all subtly different. And so that's something, maybe, Chairman, if members are minded to have a site visit, that we look at the area as well as the site.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I won't say much, because I do actually support a site visit. But we sit round the committee table and we do hear this quite often, whether the mistake is a mistake that was genuine or whether it was a genuine mistake. So we've got a dilemma, as we always have the dilemmas in this committee, that we've got to look at it on a balanced view. Now, sometimes we look at it and we look at pictures and we say, honestly, does it really make a difference? And we can often be minded to look at something and make decisions. Now, this is quite unusual, because when you actually look at those photographs, if you know nothing about planning or nothing, it does look overpowering on those pictures. So the best thing we can do is go and have a look. However, having said that, it's very, very important that we take the same line with everybody, that just because someone has made a mistake on purpose or not on purpose, should something be allowed. I think we've got to be sensible about this. So we've got to look at the impact on the village and what really, really will make a difference. And as has been said previously, Setrington, and Gary is quite right saying that Setrington has different aspects of the village, but Setrington is beautiful. It's tended to be the stone buildings. And I think what we try to do on this committee with Setrington is always try to look at that and make sure that's in keeping. And I think probably at the start this was intended to be that, but it's gone wrong and we must rectify it. So if we go with a view to, does it really, really fit in, or is it just way beyond what was acceptable, then I think we need a clear look at it, and I think only tonight a site visit is the way forward. So tonight I can't just say, well, actually I've looked at it and it's one way or the other. So I think we need to look and look at the village in totality.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for a site visit, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you, that's unanimous. We will have a site visit. We'll sort the date and there'll be a fortnight today. We'll sort the time out at the end of the meeting. Move on to agenda item 10, application number 16/01839/Major Full. The application site is Canadian Fields, Gale Lane, Norton. Proposal is for the change of use of agricultural land to allow siting of 28 number holiday lodges in association with Canadian Fields campsite, together with formation of site roads, car parking and turning areas and associated landscaping.
Thank you, Chair. I've no updates regarding the application. For those members who could not attend the site visit, I'll now briefly run through some photographs of the site. Just so members can orientate themselves in terms of the positioning of Canadian Fields, this is the application site here. This is Gale Lane running down from Norton Beadle, and this is the main A170. This is the entrance to the site with the restaurant unit just there. Again, panning round, these are the four safari tents that have been built since the 2011 approval. Again, this is just the restaurant and the warden's accommodation. Now, the proposed extension to the tourist accommodation will follow the road line here and just be in this field here in the distance. A little bit dark, but you can obviously see here there's a lot of planting being built around planted around the site. This is just looking back towards the Wren's caravan site to the northwest. This is the main application site, just beyond this planting here. Again, just panning round again the application site. This is just looking back, so I think in over time this will be developed into the more safari tent accommodation. It has approval to expand here. This is looking up north towards Gale Lane from the site entrance. There is quite clear visibility both ways along Gale Lane. But it's being proposed to put in two additional more passing spaces, more road widening at this location here. And further up the road here, following conversations that have taken place between the applicant and the local highway authority in terms of the to's and goings from the site. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We do have a speaker. Supporter, Mrs. Teasdale, please.
Thank you, Chair, members. As you'll see from the report in front of you and the supporting documents, the application is in line with your policies and no objections have been received. The lodge development offers another type of accommodation to add to the current range available on site to appeal to a wide variety of budgets. After gaining the original approval on site, this coincided with the point where the banks started to restrict their funding for lending. Unfortunately, after the initial drainage works, groundworks, electricity, access road and toilet block were constructed, the applicant was only able to secure funding for two tents initially. However, through funding the venture herself, she has tried to develop a unit each year. This has not been the case since the last application was at committee, as there's been too much uncertainty left over the site's future. The application will be considered after this. The applicant has developed the site herself and should be commended for a commitment as chef, warden, receptionist, as well as providing a number of jobs in the restaurant, kitchen, cleaning, maintenance and groundworks to local residents. An initial mistake made in terms of the type of functions that could be accommodated on site and takeaways being served were quickly stopped when she was advised that she didn't have the correct permissions in place. And since the application was last in front of you more than 2 years ago, no complaints have been received to the EHO or the planning team. The applicant has invested in additional planting on the boundary with Renzi Rydell and erected a screen next to the teepee on this side, all to reduce the transmission of noise to the neighbours. Few adverse comments have been received on TripAdvisor, however, those received, they're mainly from noisy campers as a result of them being asked to respect the quiet hours, which proves the warden scheme is working as it should. The issues previously raised to the undetermined application relate to neighbour impact, which has been addressed above, and the highway officers concerned with regard to the potential conflict of the traffic and pedestrians at a point where there's no verge for the pedestrians to step onto. They're now happy with the widening of the road in this location. It would be sufficient space for both road users and to overcome their concern. However, this is a significant investment for the applicant that they have to fund, and it doesn't seem fair to issue it under temporary approval for the kitchen building to consider next. All the original objections were on grounds of competition have proven to be unfounded, as the village maintains all the services it had at the time of the original application, an Indian, a fish and chip shop and a pub that doesn't serve food, all of which are frequented by the visitors staying on the site. The kitchen unit considered in the next application is constructed of natural cedar and is weathering well. The building has no landscape impact as is seen as part of the site, located behind the reception block and constructed of the same materials. The venture is popular with visitors and out of season the employment of staff is supported by locals using the restaurant, which is the only one in the village serving a local menu. Please support this Rydell businesswoman to continue her success at the site and support the next two applications to allow further investment into the site and therefore the local economy.
And I think the speaker drifted into the second application there rather than just talking about this what particular one which wasn't registered, but clearly they are both linked. And so if we can make this decision first and then move on to the kitchen and the enforcement action. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? No. Okay. Right, this is in my ward. Now, the Rens part of the site down there, which this is adjacent to, has been there for as long as I can remember. And as far as I can understand, this, the one with the glamping site is very popular, albeit only four of them at the moment. So I have, on the parish council have no objections whatsoever to this new site behind there, and I'm just simply going to move approval for it. Thank you. Is anybody else wishing to speak? It's been moved and seconded. Nobody else wishing to speak on it? Councillor Hope.
Yeah. Chairman, yeah, I'd just like to say a lot of work's gone into this, and the benefit of a site visit paid dividends for me anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's, this part of it has been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. Okay, that's unanimous, it is approved. So now move on to agenda item 11, application number 14/00949, full. The application site again is Canadian Fields, Gale Lane, Norton. Proposal is the erection of prefabricated building for use as camp kitchen to serve camp cafe, retrospective application.
Yes, Chairman, thank you. We have a sort of more close-up photograph of the building. I call it a building. It's the prefabricated timber-clad building, which is the kitchen building. There's a member of the public there, I think, in the foreground, Chairman. I'm not quite sure who that is, but you can see that this set sits next to the teepee that is actually the I'll call it the restaurant. That's the bit that's used for eating in. And indeed, just to correct the situation and draw members' attention to the previous report that members considered in 2014 when they resolved to take enforcement action, but to give a relatively long compliance period of 2 years, was not just in relation to the takeaway, but the use of the restaurant for non-camp residents. That isn't what the original planning permission was for, so it was for non-residents eating that was the issue. And at that point in time, and I hope members had a chance to revisit the enforcement reports that we put before you, plus the other officer report, was also an issue with regard to the calibre of Gale Lane chairman. And obviously in the intervening period with the application that you've just considered, the Highway Authority have agreed to some localised improvements to the highway, which almost don't really want to call them passing spaces. They're more like localised widenings and hardenings to improve the calibre of the highway at that point. At that point, and the current position of the Highway Authority with regard to this application and the restaurant is that they still, whilst they're happy with the improvements to Gale Lane that would be affected by the two passing spaces shown, feel that it still needs to prove itself from a highway point of view. I have spoken to the applicant earlier, prior to the meeting, prior to this meeting rather, and it would appear that there is the potential for that localised improvements that were shown on the passing spaces for the previous applications to be done earlier this year. To the earlier part of this year, and the dates that have been suggested are the 30th of June. Those additional areas shown on the plans by Felicity Kay elsewhere on this agenda can be put in place. In addition, if members are, as they previously did, Chairman, minded to grant some form of temporary planning permission, then again, I think we need to consider how the facility here can be limited in a way that doesn't give rise to some of the complaints that we previously have received. Now, again, having discussed that with the applicant, it would appear that the management of the site does limit the uses to 11 o'clock of night, and hence the conditions that are suggested on the late pages, and again suggesting no A5 takeaway use also during this proposed further temporary period, Chairman. But I think we still are in a situation where a permanent permission is inappropriate, and indeed the policy issues with regard to what is effectively a town centre use in this location still remain. The recommendation also still, Chairman, does recommend enforcement action be taken, but that the compliance period still be a period of 2 years. It seems clear, Chairman, that the expansion of the business has been slower than anticipated, and that really was the rationale for the lengthy period of compliance that was previously authorised in November 2014. But that's the officer's recommendation, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Gary, can I ask, have there been any complaints received by the council since this last came to committee?
Complaints, Chairman, more has the period for compliance that they believed was in place lapsed, and of course it was at that point that we realised the inaction had occurred between planning and legal, and that became apparent with the current application when we then went back into the site history, Chairman. So no direct complaints, but the queries were about when will the use cease, as I think they'd assumed, not unreasonably, that the enforcement notices had already been served.
Any other questions? Councillor Maud.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. When I got the update on Saturday, was it? I read through it, and it's, when it mentions about doing away with the prefabricated cookhouse, I thought, well, I didn't see that when I went to the site. I remember remarking to Mrs. Shields about how nice I like the wood finish of that building, and so I went again on Saturday afternoon. It was a blooming awful day. I finished up evening in Ellensley after that, you know, which was still and. Sorry, and I the main access was closed. So I went down this and got into the car park where we parked for the site visit, and I don't find it at all offensive. And I know Gary just said about it's there's a youth there being performed, which is more used to a town centre. Well, you'd have a job putting that marquee in a town centre. I think it's quite a unique thing, and it's in its own setting. And I'm quite happy to leave it as it is. I was quite impressed with it when I went in and saw that you could see it, about 45 people in there. You wouldn't believe so from looking at here, but it's quite unique, and I couldn't find any problems with it at all.
I suppose we're getting into areas of opinion, Chairman, but when the original planning permission was granted, for it, which effectively was for the 19 glamping tents, whatever they were, and the facilities building and the what was described as a canteen, was not this. It wasn't a teepee with a well, by the applicant's own admission, a prefabricated kitchen bolted on the side. That wasn't what we approved back in 2011. It's a matter of judgment, Chairman, but you know, to my mind, that isn't it's a very utilitarian structure. It is a prefabricated structure. It's not normally the sort of thing that we grant a full planning permission for, even if we were minded to think it was acceptable. Previously, that was recommended to you for refusal in 2014. And your reason for granting it a 2-year permission was to link it to the length of the enforcement notice that you'd resolve should be issued. The previous decision of this planning committee was to give that 2 years planning permission.
Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Just a comment on it. I mean, this is Canadian fields, right? Everything, you know, in Canada probably is built with wood and everything else, and all they've done is sort of they've kind of reflected you know, the place where they came from. I think they've been on holiday, hadn't they, or lived in Canada for some while before they came back and did this. And that wigwam, you know, I mean, it is a wigwam, is quite amazing. As you say, when you get inside, it's amazing how many people can actually sit down in there. And the building alongside seems to go with it. And, I mean, wood, you know, is a very basic thing. Okay, if it's not meant to be there because you turned it down before I got back on the council again here on the planning meeting, then, you know, I quite liked it, and I have no real objection to it. So if you don't like, I won't vote, you know, if it's going to be difficult, because I'm quite happy with it, actually.
Well, just on the history of it, the reason it's called Canadian Fields, I think, is because the Canadian Air Force were based there during the war for the Wimbledon Airfield. That's where the name came from, I think. Anyhow, as it's on my patch again, what I'll do is I'm going to move officer recommendation, and because I think by the time or when the new site and this one we're looking at is fully established, I don't think there'll be enough room to serve any of the general public anyway. So hopefully, sorry Mrs. Well, that's the way it is. Hopefully by 2 years' time we'll have enough of the new cabins or whatever to justify it. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move officer recommendation. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Yeah, I'm not sure what officer recommendation is. It says to be reported on.
It's on the late pages.
Hang on then till I find them. If we're going to approve log cabins around this site, I don't think that's too much different from log cabins anywhere. Personally, I don't think that's going to look out of place on this site as a timber clad building next to log cabins. I don't really understand why we've been so desperate to enforce this. It's been a good business, this. encouraging tourism and encouraging what we want for the economy of this area, which is extra tourists and extra tourism, it's a bit different, it's a bit quirky. And I think sometimes we just need to think outside the box and say, well, actually, that's not really harmful, so why are we
Help if I just came back. Essentially, there are two issues here. One is the structure. What do you think about that structure? And the other bit is what that structure is being used for. So the underlying issue here, essentially, in relation to what was originally granted planning permission for and what you previously resolved to enforce against, was a restaurant that could be used by anybody and was being used by anybody. What you granted planning permission for was a site canteen. It was a facility for residents on the site. Okay. You previously took that decision, but you also previously took the decision that you didn't really like that either. So that's what you took in the way of a decision in 2014. So that's what people have been waiting for us to. People are waiting for us to see what you've done because we have failed to enact that decision. We're now in a situation where we're revisiting those decisions in effect. So you made two decisions in November 2014. You made a decision to enforce against the restaurant, and you made a decision to enforce against that, but you gave it 2 years' life. And the reason that you gave at the time was you wanted that to be a breathing space for the rest of the business to get on, sort itself out, and you wouldn't need to rely on the restaurant. So you took a balanced decision of allowing the business to breathe. For whatever reason, and at that point in November 2014, we had three glamping units on the site. There are already three. We now only have a fourth and a fifth under construction, as you saw on the site visit. So progress has been slower than anticipated. To that end, the non-service of the enforcement notice has potentially been of assistance to the business, but it puts us back in the situation now of having to review the enforcement action that we authorised back in November 2014 because of the passage of time, and linked to that the temporary permission that also was linked to that enforcement action by members in the very next decision at that meeting. What we're saying is to you as members is that in principle, in policy terms, this shouldn't be the location for a restaurant in the open countryside. It's okay for it to continue forever as a camp facility. It's got permission for that, or there is a permission for that. But in terms of what it's used for and the structure, we're recommending to you that enforcement action should still be pursued, but again with a relatively lengthy compliance period. As you'll know, normally we grant compliance periods in a matter of weeks and months, and linked to that the granting of a further temporary planning permission to enable further progression with the development of the business, be that lodges or be it the glamping units that have already been in place since 2012. So that's the officer recommendation. If you don't like those recommendations, Chairman, then we need to think of other ways of dealing with this, but people are watching what we're doing.
Yeah.
If then in that case, if we grant a temporary planning permission for the next 2 years for this building, at that point, could this applicant then come back and say, well, actually, this is needed for my business to continue, and I need to cater for the people in the lodges and the people in the tents and whatever. So therefore I will need this kitchen and need to keep this kitchen as part of the business. I would hate to see us say, well, you've got to get rid of that kitchen building and then it affect this business. I think it's a good business. I think it's...
If members were of a view tonight that on reflection, having carried out the site inspection, they're happy with that structure, You could grant it a longer permission, or you could grant it a permanent permission if you felt it was appropriate to do so. That would deal with the structure if you felt that was appropriate on the site in this location with that appearance. You've still got to then consider its use as a restaurant unrelated to site resident usage. So that's a separate potentially becomes a separate issue. But it's a question, coming back to your first question, could they apply? Yes, of course they could apply, and they could make the same argument or a similar argument in another 2 years' time if progress was still slow, or there was still a business need to retain the unit and it still was in reasonable order. There's a phrase in planning, there's nothing as permanent as a temporary planning permission, but that does actually go against government advice. We are supposed to look at temporary planning permissions, and if they're trial periods, make a decision at the end of a trial period or whatever it may be. In this instance, the Highway Authority's view is that the planning permission is more about the restaurant use than what the building looks like. They're more interested in traffic. Whereas we've previously expressed a view that we think it's a fairly utilitarian structure, that view was accepted 2 years ago, but I think having been to the site, some members are maybe not wholly of that opinion.
Councillor Mrs. Farnell.
Thank you. Bear with me because it's all a bit scrawled, but we'll go something like this. There's no complaints been received to date, apart from ones from people wanting to know when the it's going to cease. I personally think that we should be looking upon this venture as brave, unique, by a local business lady who has stepped out there. Yes, progression is slow. A single person, the banks rightly so have decided not possibly to play ball with her. If we would grant the permission for the structure, which I think is appropriate in the location with the black backdrop of the safari tents, the lodges that we've just given approval for, the screening from the site, from the road which you can't, I personally don't think you can see. Highways, I'm very upset with them because, yet again, they have jumped on needing improvements on a road where a school has just asked for a huge extension. It's like a rat run on that road at 9 o'clock and at 3:30, not when this restaurant is in most use. And so I don't feel, I'm sorry, I can't give weight to highways concerns and considerations. I think I'm about there. Local people, if we were to allow the restaurant use to be used by local people rather than just on site, then this business lady is going to get more valuable income in to progress the project forward, which will then give her much needed capital to move the venture with the other safari tents and lodges. And therefore I would like to move recommendation for approval of a permanent use without the use to be used by people in the locality as well, not just on site.
You can't control that. You're just going to have to accept that if you go your route, you're accepting a restaurant. So if that's what you're saying.
Sorry, to use it as a restaurant, not just on site.
If it is that, then you're turning your previous resolution totally on its head. I just want you to know that's what you're doing.
But that's a previous committee, Gary.
Because there's various shades of grey here. One can relate to the structure, whether you give that a temporary permission or a full permission or whatever, and whether or not you seek to control the use, which is the other issue. I think you're saying grant it planning permission and rescind the enforcement action.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
I'll just second what Fiona's just said, and I think this if that had been a stable block in a field, we would have said it's fine. So I really can't see that it's out of keeping with where it is. I can't see that at all. And I agree with Fiona that the economy of this area depends on tourism and tourists, and I think this is a real good flourishing little business, and I think we really ought to try and help it to flourish. And so I'll second Fiona's proposal for a permanent permission.
Thank you. We're just taking a bit of legal advice here.
Carry on, Chairman, sorry.
Sorry. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very sympathetic to this business as well. I think it's sort of novel, and it would be good to support it as a developing, emerging business. I'm very taken by the idea of a permanent, temporary arrangement, which would seem to get around everybody's problems. And as that current kitchen building might prove to be too small or need some modification, they could pop a roof on it or do whatever, and make it more agreeable for, on planning terms, for the character of a building in a rural area. And I think that it serves a purpose in the locality, which would be, it seems to be welcomed. So I'm quite comfortable with the officer's recommendation, so long as that does not unduly constrain the business. It was sort of Damocles holding it over their head, so that at any moment they might find themselves without a kitchen.
I think, just to come back on that point, in essence, this development doesn't have any permitted development rights, really, in that sense. So if there was a different scheme that come forward, well, somebody would have to come forward with another planning application to apply for it for something different, if that was just a stopgap solution. Clearly, Councillor Farnell has suggested that we should give it a permanent permission in any event to cover not just the structure but also the use for non-residents as well as residents. So I think that's where we've sort of moved to in the debate, I think.
Councillor Mrs Shields.
Chairman, I'm going to agree with that. I mean, I wasn't on this committee when you made that decision, so I've looked at this completely for the first time, and, you know, looking at it and seeing it without the a lot of the previous decisions made, I think it should, I agree with Councillor Farnell in this one, and I think we should let it go forward. I think I was most surprised at the whole area. I didn't recognise, I don't think I've ever been down there at all. It seemed to me a suitable area for encouraging people to come here, to come to Rydell, to be able to camp, but to have a very nice and traditional sort of Canadian, presumably, sort of restaurant there. So I'm all in favour, Chairman.
Councillor Cleary.
Well, hardly desperate. Yeah, you haven't seen me desperate. I'd like to support Councillor Farnell's idea. I got there. The development thus far blends naturally into, in fact, if you can see it, it blends naturally into it. On site, the only thing that springs, that hits you in the face, is the neighbouring bright, light, pastel green static vans. And in the mid-distance, Rydell School, which is of great use, but in terms of its appearance, is a disgrace. I can't be bound by previous committees' appearance about utilitarian. I look in the mirror every morning and see something utilitarian, and I've had no great complaints. I'd like to support this and give it a chance. I think what we're looking at here is a business that we should be supporting, and I'm delighting in that it's happening. Give it every chance. I think, again, I'm baffled by the way the highways behave. Some of what we look at and think, crikey, that's a bit dangerous. They don't bat an eyelid, and other things are up in arms. I think it's just an opinion of the day in terms of that, I have to say. I'm all for this.
Thank you. Anthony, do you want to come?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clearly, there's a proposal which has been moved and seconded, and if the committee does adopt that vote in favour of that proposal, the question is, well, what should happen to the enforcement action? It will be superseded by events. So if members do vote on this proposal and it is carried, there will need to be a further resolution proposal about the enforcement action to make it quite clear that members will not pursue further enforcement action. And, Mr. Chairman, if I just may mention at this point, for the purposes of the minutes, this would be a decision contrary to officer recommendation. We just need to note what the reasons, the planning reasons for that are, so that we can put them in the minutes. And if any member of the public wants to know, well, why was a decision made contrary to officers' recommendations, we've got a note of what the planning reasons were, and we can advise members of the public of that. It's in accordance with the planning code of practice that we have, so officers are not asking you to do anything that isn't enshrined in the code of practice. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
One other point that does occur to me, Chairman, is that obviously in the late page recommendation, there was a recommendation of a planning permission being granted, albeit on a 2-year temporary permission, but there were also other conditions recommended as well, Chairman. And in that sense, some of those conditions relate to the amenity considerations relating to things like hours of use and the like. And I would ask members to give some thought to the late page recommendation in terms of the hours, limitations on use, no takeaways, that sort of thing, because yes, this is a facility on a site with a permission, but nevertheless it's a site now that we've just resolved to expand by X number of lodge units. Some of the concerns have been about intensifications of use, some of the concerns have been about the lack of attenuation characteristics of the tent itself. So I think we need to give some thought to control over the those sorts of impacts, Chairman. There are some conditions recommended on the late pages. I would suggest members give some thought to bringing those forward to a full permission, if that's the decision of this committee. You're happy to delegate those detail of those conditions to officers. It's just a thought.
Right. Okay, so we have moved and seconded for full approval of this. As a local member, I'm quite happy to go with that, and obviously there will need to be conditions with it, and if you're happy to delegate those to the planning officer, I will put that to the vote. Do you have the reasons? I'm sure I'll come to you, Mrs. Farnell, for the reasons for going against the officer's recommendation. Sorry?
Are you wanting those now before you vote?
Thank you. Would it help, Chairman, if I captured the essence of some of the comments that have been made? I think some of them are that members, having visited the site, felt that the structure was not out of keeping with the landscape and in terms of its design and construction, felt that it was acceptable and thereby satisfied policies in the adopted plan, Chairman. I think the other matters really relate to... Well, obviously the highway issue is in part resolved, Chairman, with the imposition of the same condition that's required for the lodges, which is for the localised widening. I suppose the policy situation with regard to the general location of this facility as a restaurant in open countryside is in part mitigated in members' minds by the fact that it would legitimately function as a site canteen, for want of a better word, and that members took the view that the additional restaurant use, so it's almost got like a mixed use, was not sufficiently material to withhold consent. I can come up with some words, but I think those are the three issues.
Okay, I will therefore put that to the vote. Thank you, that's unanimous. Did you say we need to... Shall I move to rescind it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I will move then that we... move that we take no further enforcement action on this. And that's seconded, so I'll put that to the vote, please. I just have to wait more. Apparently somebody hasn't voted on this one. Oh, it has. Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. So we now move on to agenda item 12. Over to you, Anthony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members have before them an application for a certificate of lawfulness which has been submitted by a company in respect of the breach of condition relating to noise levels. I think at the outset, Mr. Chairman, it's very important to say that this application is not an application for planning permission. The merits of the application are not being considered. This committee is being asked to be a tribunal of fact. It must look at the evidence only as to whether or not there's been a breach of condition for a period of 10 years. And the application has been supported by a reasonable quantity of evidence, including the evidence of an acoustic expert on noise levels from the machinery that is used. The business has is essentially the assembly of timber structures, including field shelters, stables, and matters of that kind, doors. And that assembly does give rise to the cutting of wood, and the machines have been identified which have been used for those purposes, the cutting and working of wood, should I say. And the original planning permission was granted in 16th of March 1993. And the business has continued for since that time to date, and it was just approximately 3 years ago when a complaint had been lodged about noise levels. So for most of the life of this business, there haven't been complaints about noise level. The case for the applicant is essentially that Mr. Goodrick has confirmed in his statutory declaration when the machines were purchased, and that was more than 10 years ago. Secondly, there's evidence about the noise generated by those machines when they are cutting and working wood, submitted by a noise acoustic expert, and the evidence is that it is above, the noise levels are above the 45 dB level, and a list has been included in the report. The further evidence of Mr. Goodrick has been that the annual sales figures for the field shelters and the stables show a level of business activity which has been consistent for the last 13 years. And the sales of the field shelters and the stables indicates that there has been a considerable level of cutting and working of wood. And the case of the applicant is that as the use of the machinery contributes to the breach of the permitted noise levels, that evidence demonstrates that these machines have not changed, and as a result the associated noise levels have in all probability not changed over the 10-year period. So accordingly, the applicant's case is that there has been a breach of the noise condition for a period of 10 years. The report, Mr. Chairman, goes into quite some detail about the evidence relating to that. We've got other evidence from an environmental health officer, but that's included in the report. But really, that does not undermine the essential case of the applicants. Mr. Chairman, it is rarely the case that applications of this kind are reported to committee, but clearly because the applicant, the operating of the business, is the husband of a serving district councillor, it is a matter of probity, open and to be open and transparent, that this application is properly before this committee for members to decide. And Mr. Chairman, the recommendation, the officer recommendation, is that on the balance of probabilities, the case has been proved that there's been a breach of the condition, the noise condition, for 10 years. And the recommendation, accordingly, is therefore one of approval of the application. Mr. Chairman, if there are any questions, I'm here to answer.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No questions? Okay. The local member obviously isn't here. Does anyone want to take this? No? Okay, well, I will move officer recommendation. Anybody wishing to second? Councillor Cleary, thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for officer recommendation, so I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's 8 in favour and 1 abstention. Thank you. Oh yeah. Agenda item 13 is any other business that the chairman decides is urgent. I have no other urgent business other than setting the time for the site visit to Sutterington, which will possibly be 10:30. Is that okay with everyone?
That's on the
whatever date it is. 28th.
28th. Tuesday.
Pancake Day. Pancake.
Chairman. Could I just say I can't make it, but obviously it'll carry on, but I will go myself.
Yeah.
So I will. Thank you. I'll walk round the village.
So that's 28th of February at 10 AM. Sorry, 10:30. I wrote ten down here and I said 10:30. Yeah. 10:30, sorry. That's me. Yeah. Agenda item 14 is list of applications determined under delegated powers for your bedtime meeting. I now declare this meeting closed. Thank you.